We're going to start in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Oops, I don't know why it's always hard for me to find that. Okay. Today is going to be a lot about following, but it came to me in the car, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day. It didn't say tomorrow, it said today. Choose you this day who you will follow. Who are you going to serve? As for me and my house, we are going to walk and serve the Lord. And we need to just make that choice. And we can't do it. I'm telling you now, you cannot do it on your own. If you're going to make a choice, you say, Lord, I choose you. And then you must recognize and learn those two creations. Know that there is still two creations. You still have a body of flesh. And I go back to Cain and Abel. Go back to that time. Cain killed his brother. Blood was shed. But God still had a plan. Jesus died in our place. And what happened? Then comes the Zeth line. Entering into the new man. Now you're alive. You've been quickened. And everyone talks about the quick work. Well, you who are alive, you've been quickened. You've been raised from the dead. And everybody says, well, he's doing a quick work. The word of God says it. It is a quickening. It's a powerful work. It is a work that is being done by the manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God. This is his power. This is when God gets all the glory. When we come to him and we pray, preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians verse 6, well, I'm going to go to 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, it also in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. You know what manner of men we were among you, but it was for your sake. They preached the word to them. You know what manner of men we were. And he says, and you became followers of us. And people go, oh, now you can't have a following of yourself. No, you've got to put it in the right order. You became followers of us and of the Lord. Why did this happen? They wanted to follow this word that was given out. Why? Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your what? What has Jean been talking about? Your faith, no matter where you are, that your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So we don't even have to preach. He said, you've laid hold of this gospel. He said, we don't have to say a word. You know, even we don't. You can just walk the life, live in Christ, and be led of the Spirit, and that's the same thing. You won't have to say a word. They will know. I went to my class reunion, and it was, they knew. I think it kind of shocked them, you know. It used to be, I was a little partier. But the thing was, it was different. I felt the Lord working. I knew he was in me and he was alive. And it was so powerful. They were like, what? Oh, is this Penny? Why is she hugging all of us? But I asked permission. The Lord said, be sure to ask. Because, you know, I've got a guy sitting here. I said, is it okay if I give you a hug? I mean, I don't want to make your wife upset. I said, if it's okay, and he goes, she's right there. It's fine. Give me a hug. So we hugged. You know, it was just, but it was precious. I saw people grown up. Instead of acting like a bunch of teenagers, we had got old and wrinkled, and our hair was different, and there were so many changes. I mean, I couldn't even recognize people. But the one thing that was present was the power of God. And there was joy, and there was love, and there was peace. And that I enjoyed. But you want people to follow you as you follow Christ. It's you take the message and let Jesus be alive in you. You don't even have to try it. You don't have to try doing it. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. You know that I think the greatest thing for a pastor is when they see their flock ate the word of God. I don't care if it's being chastened. When you just go to your pastor and you say, man, thanks for that word of God. It was chastening, but it was good. It was meat for me. I needed it. We don't do that until we begin to grow. As you begin to grow, you understand he loves us. You know, God is not a father who is going over here and beating you and telling you will do it this way. He does not do that. He said, I love you, and I love you so much, I'm going to show you what's right, and I'm going to show you what's wrong. That's the problem. People don't want to hear what is wrong in the heart. They want, I know it all. I got it. I've been taught it. There's no room for correction. There's no room for any more word. I already got it all. Never have that kind of an attitude. And we've been taught that here, that you don't have it all. You always have a need of him day by day. Why would it say, come to me daily? My mercy is new every morning. Well, that tells me I have need of mercy. I need God's grace. It is God's grace that is taking us step by step from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For they themselves had shown this, but he says, you know, they showed of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Do you think of the joy of this? How you turn to God. Stop right there. Wow, it was such a wonderful blessing when I saw you turn to God. Not to a man. You're turning to God now. How you turn to God from idols. And that can be a person. You can set up a person, or you can set up a pastor. You really can. But you must know they are called of God. They are your shepherd. But and how I'm going to explain that to you is because I don't want people taking that and the enemy putting thoughts in your head. I've only learned this by experience. I've had people come to me and ask, not just here, well, how did the pastor react to that? Did you happen to see how he, did he like it? Who cares? That's not right. Did God like it? Is he the God that I walked before? Is he the God that I worship? He's the God that put a man in charge. Of course, if it's in the spirit, of course your pastor's gonna love it. That's all you have to know, because when you please God, those pastors, just like right here, when they preach the word of God, they seen how they turn to God. And I know you could ask Jean. Ask your pastor, how did it make you feel when you saw someone turn to God? And I did not say, stop and quit everything and be this righteous, holy, fake, self-righteous. I said, turn to God. How did it make Jean or any pastor in their heart, when they gave out the word, how did it make them feel when you said, I want to walk with God? You've got it right there. You turn to God from idols, not from your idols, and you can't do this, and oh, you've got that in your life. I've had grandkids tell me this. No, I can't go to church until I have to live the right way first. Well, what need do you have? You got to come to church and let God clean up the heart. You see, it's an inward work. And once he does the work on the inside, it will shine out to the out. And don't get upset with yourself if it's not an overnight process. This is a line upon line. Here a little, there a little. But they turn to God. When you turn to God, what are you turning to? I am the Almighty God. Now walk thou before me and be perfect. But you have to turn to God. Once you turn to God, and that's turn, change your mind. Even the seven churches, everyone, repent. And the only two that he didn't have to say repent was Smyrna and Philadelphia. But if you notice, if you go in there even Ephesus, where it all started. Here was Antioch, here's Ephesus. All this beautiful truth going forth. Ephesus, you have it all. You've got it. But they left their first love. So why would God have to bring the word of God and preach to us, to show us you turned? You went backwards. You have to go forward. Turn to God. Now turn around. Go the right direction. Follow me as I am of Christ. When you turn to God, you turn from those idols. Why? Those idols won't mean as much when you really know God. And then when you know him as a father, it's going to get sweeter and better and better. Why? The idols are stuck there, but it said to serve the living and the true God. Those idols were just something that the old flesh just always had to have approval, or the old flesh just had to have something to please it. Feed the new man. We heard it in our Bible classes, I don't know how many times. What you feed is who you're going to be. The more you feed yourself the word of God, the more it's going to be, it's living and abiding in you. And you will, when you turn to God, you're going to serve the living and the true God. And not only that, and means keep going. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us. Please get it. He already delivered us from the wrath to come. That wrath was poured out on Calvary. Jesus, God poured everything, all that judgment, as a righteous God. It was all poured out on Christ. And now when we know and we believe, I was crucified with him, nevertheless, I live. Even though you have his body of flesh, the life we live now is by the faith of the Son of God. He loved you. He gave himself for you. So why do I want to know him? I have to understand who he is. How did he do this? You're falling in love with Jesus. And he's your life. And you're going to be changed from glory to glory. And any goodness found in you is Christ. That is as far as it goes. Because there is no goodness that God likes. There's no goodness of the flesh that he wants. He said, kill it all. We did, Lord, but we kept these little sheep. Look, they're the best. Look at these. These are the best sheep. But see, he knew, because he had said in the scripture, because what is that? I thought I told you to kill all. I hear the bleating of sheep in my ears. Oh, yeah, but we kept the best for you, Lord. He doesn't want anything. He wants us to want him in all things. That everything we do, everything we say, every place we go, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's an inward work. It's an outward showing of what's already happened in the heart of man. Now I want you to go over to where we were last Sunday, a little bit further, and it's 1 Kings chapter... Oh, wouldn't you know I didn't? Yeah, 1 Kings 18. This is going to go right with it. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Because we already heard all the things God did for Elijah. God hasn't quit. God doesn't stop. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you go down to verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, we've got to get this settled. How long halt you between two opinions? How long are you going to halt in this place? How many can say this in their heart? Man, I feel like I was the same thing a year ago. It's the same. I haven't reached out and took what God gave me. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord, and that's Jehovah, if the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal worship, okay, that's idols, that could be people, that can be things, whatever. It's anything other than him. But if the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then you follow him. Just choose you this day. If Baal's who you want, you get all the results. You get all the rewards of that. Yeah, enter into it. But go to the end of the book and find out what's going to happen in the end of the book. The people answered him not a word. They just stood there like, what? We have to make a decision. Are we going to choose Baal or are we going to choose God? Then said Elijah unto the people, I remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose the bullock for themselves, cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood, don't put any fire under it, and I will dress the other bullock, and I will lay it on the wood, and I will put no fire under it. Okay? And once we get that done, and call ye on the name of your gods, little g with an S. And if you look, what word is in there? Dog. What did he say when he was on the cross? Save my darling from the power of the dogs. Religious men, save her. He already prayed for us. And he said, when you do, call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Now, if you remember, they said, don't put any fire under it. So we're getting to the impossible things. It's only things that are possible with God. And I saw something today. I never saw in this before. But, and all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose you one of the bullocks for yourself. You dress it, for you are many. And call on the name of your gods, but remember, don't put any fire under it. And I thought, I just read that, Lord. He said, I know, but it's important. And they took the bullock, which was given them. They dressed it. Here we go again. Called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. Morning till noon. How many of you have got on your knees and cried out to God from morning till noon? Well, they were crying out to Baal from morning till noon. I bet they're getting tired. Saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. They didn't hear anything. Nor any answer. No one answered them. You mean out of all those gods that you're believing in, you haven't heard anything yet? Because we're coming into a place, he's going to call on one. You have all these gods that you've got, and you can't get one to answer you from morning till noon? My God says, call on me morning, noon, and night. I will answer you. So when you keep going, he said, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice nor an answer. They leaped on the altar, which was made. And it came to pass at noon. You know, this is probably Elijah's going, oh, my gosh, hasn't this gone on long enough? But he said, Elijah mocked them. And he said, cry loud. Boy, you need to cry louder, you know? Have you ever been in a church where they go, you got to look up or you can't get anything from the Lord? You know, don't be telling people how they have to hold their body to receive of God. You know, you can have your head down to the ground. It's in what's in the inside. It's your attitude. Are you looking up? Your redemption draweth nigh. Are you calling unto him? Don't be looking around. Baal, hear us. There's no answer. So they're leaping all over the altar, and he begins mocking them. He said, you got to cry louder. He is a god, isn't he? Either he is talking. Maybe he's talking. Maybe he's talking to somebody so he can't talk to you right now. Do we know that our God, every one of us, what an honor. Each one of us can be praying to him, and he can answer all of us. He said, well, maybe he's talking, or he's pursuing. Oh, maybe he went on a journey and he didn't tell you about it. You see the mockery? I mean, he's like, but he's bringing it down to reality. He's saying, folks, you got to see this. You're going to have to get this settled in your heart. And you have to know who God is. Maybe he went on a journey. Oh, peradventure, he's asleep. What does our God say? Our God doesn't sleep nor slumber. He's awake. God is watching. Maybe you have to go in and he's got to be awakened. Is there something you can do? Go in and wake him up? Do you even know where your God is? And they cried aloud. And then they begin to cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Now, we know our God doesn't expect us to have to do that. But I'll tell you what, the devil, he's working through the young people today. When it hurts bad, when it's really hurting you, you just take a blade and you just cut yourself. They're called cutters. They cut because it hurts, but they don't have to feel the pain they're going through. That's why people cut themselves. But if they only knew, you don't have to mutilate yourself. You don't have to scream like that. All you've got to do is come before him in his presence with thanksgiving, with praise, with worship. Why? Because God knew we never could have entered in. But he removed the veil till now we get to come into the very presence of God. Religions do not see that. They don't. And we know that the end of the thing, oh, Jezebel, it's going to happen in the end, that Catholic Church. But it's not just the Catholic Church. It's any of those who were come under her skirt and was coming under her dominion and doing things in her way and under her what? It's called, you take it and you get it all organized Christendom. That's what it is. She's got it. She said, this is it. Vashti, what did she say? I'm a queen, and she didn't have to worry about nothing. You see that attitude? The Catholic Church in the end, and all of her daughters, they're going to be doing the same thing. Organized Christendom. It's doctrines that are out of order. There is going to be a spiritual storm, and this Uric Leiden, that storm is a spiritual storm. It's a spiritual whirlwind of all the winds and the doctrines that are going. But what has our God told us? What did he say? I don't want you to take these winds of doctrine and to be caught in any of it. None of it. Come to me. Let me reveal the word. Ask God, reveal the truth to you. Ask God to put ministers when they should be behind the pulpit. Or a teacher behind the pulpit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God. Those who are hearing from him. These people couldn't even get in touch with their God. They don't know where he is. They don't know why he's not answering. And it came to pass at midday was past. And they prophesied into the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. That there was neither a voice. There still was no answer, and there was none that regarded, none that even cared. And he said, and Elijah said unto all the people, and I love it, it just reminds me of our Lord. Have you ever been in that situation? Lord, none of this pleases me. I don't like this. I don't know how to handle this, Lord. Come, honey. Come unto me. Come unto me. I will give you rest. I want my little lily saint, little. I want that little lily that doesn't toil. That's busy. Toiling, worrying, anxious. Toiling and spinning. Oh, which way do we go? What do? I don't know how to do this. This is too much. No, the lily is resting. She's trusting in her Lord. He said, you just seek me. Seek him. And all of his righteousness, all of it. And he said, he'll add unto you all those other things that you're so worried if he thinks you need it. He's going to give you what you have need of. I was thinking of my daughter, Julie, how there she is in North Carolina. And it's not saying, oh, I'm holier than thou and I can't go to your church. There just isn't one that she knows is preaching the grace of God. Well, I said, well, what about that scripture? It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. And she said, Mother, I am assembling myself. We talk every day about the Lord. We are sitting at Jesus' feet. We are building each other up. We are commending each other to God, who is able to build us up. We commend each other because he's the one that's going to provide for us. He's the one revealing the word of God. He's the one we're worshiping. We're not worshiping. I don't worship Julie. And Julie don't worship her mother. We worship the God that lives inside of the vessel and the power of the Holy Ghost who reveal the truth to us. I'm telling you, it's just like when you're with a saint, maybe one-on-one. God said, my seed shall not beg for bread. But he didn't say that just because she couldn't find a place, that she just had to sit there and never go to church and never call on the Lord. No, she gets on. What did God do? He put these messages on the internet. That is not perchance. She can dig every day and get gold. You can even be online with the saints, hearing the prayer request. And she prays for people. And I'm not acknowledging her. I'm saying, look what God has done. We cannot look with these eyes. We've got to look to spiritual eyes and what's going on. God has been so faithful, so faithful. And he never lets her depend on me, never. Because if she does, I guarantee you this happens, and it'll happen to you. You'll call me, and I'll go, mm-hmm. And she goes, Mom, did you get it? No, not really. You see, it's not us. It has to be him. All him. Cannot be them. It's the word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I just love this. And goes, then, back over here. Elijah took the 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came. Is the word of the Lord coming unto you? Can you rightly divide? Can you hear his voice? Saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar, and he did what? In the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid him on the wood and said, fill barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. And he said, oh, no, that's not enough. God is going to make sure they know it is God that has done this thing, that it is not man. Do it the second time. I love this. Pour it on there again. They did it the second time. And what was it? They took barrels, 4 barrels with water and poured it. Do it the second time. Get 4 more. And pour it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran all around the altar and filled that trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, okay, that Elijah, the prophet, what did he do? He came near. And he said, let me tell you what God told me to tell you. No. He said, he came near and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, are you of that seed? Are we in the one seed that is only going to be acknowledged? The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, Israel, let it be known this day. He comes to God, he said, let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. He brings you to the low place. Choose you who you're going to serve. Anything we're doing is, we do it because he enables, but we're doing it unto him. So we don't need to see if this person saw it and do they approve of it. And, you know, they will approve of what is right. They will. Unless they're, you know, got a little trial going on. But God, it's God's work. He shows them. That is the rest to the people of God. He said, and that I'm your servant. And he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let him know I'm your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. That anything they see, it has all been you. It has nothing to do with me. Only that I choose to serve the true one only God. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. That this people, I love it. It's not all about Elijah. That this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Did he answer? Did his God hear him? Because it says the fire of the Lord fell. It consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, now you tell me, could they not tell this was the Lord God? Do they think a man could do something like that? And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is the God. What did Jesus say in John 17 when he prayed for us? I want him to know the one true God, the only one. I want him to enter into all this with us. And they took them. Oh, he said, and Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal, and I don't want one of them to escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook at Kishon, and he slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Ahab, get up. You need to eat and you need to drink. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain coming. You got to go in and study that. Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Elijah went to the top of Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth. He put his face between his knees. And I always think of this, that that's what I did in school when a storm was coming. What did they tell you to do? There's a tornado coming. Put your head down, down by your knees, get down. That is the stance of the storm is coming to be safe. And he put his face between his knees in the right position. Huh, we got to trust God. And he said to his servant, go up now. I want you to look toward the sea. And he went up, he looked, and he said, there's nothing. And Elijah said, no, go again. Seven times I want you to go. And it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, behold, I do see something. There ariseth a little. Remember we talked last week about a little as much when God is in it. There's a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Are we held in his hand? No matter where the ship lies? And he said, go up unto Ahab and prepare the chariot. Now get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And he said, it came to pass, and I like this, racers. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds and a wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode on that chariot, and he went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. Let's see, what happened with Elijah? He girded up his loins, and he ran. It doesn't say he got on a chariot. He ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel, Who got there first? The runner. There's first-ranked believers. There are second and there is third. But I believe he's got these things hidden right here and he's showing us. Did that mean, oh, Elijah, you're just, man, you're so good. What a runner. You are so good. Now, if you got to go back to the word of God, it said he girded up his loins. We must be girded with truth. We must believe God. And then he was a very good runner. Very good. But it wasn't over. It was not over. Then this poor Elijah, he's got to learn more. And the Lord has taken him through all these trials. The next one is going to be where he is there and he's just down. He's in the wilderness. He sits down under a juniper tree and he just says, God, I want to die. Now, why would you want to die when you just saw all that what God just did? It's because God is showing us in myself. This stuff doesn't change. It's Christ in us. Gird up your loins with truth. Have your feet shod with the preparation of peace. Take that shield of faith. Take that hope of salvation, the helmet. Make sure you're praying. God just put it there. He's not going to make us. Gary Wulane, I'll never forget, he did a message on this. And he said, take one of those pieces of armor and just leave it. How about all the men, let's go to war. I forgot my gun. Oh, we're in great shape, aren't we? Put on the whole armor of God that you will be able. This is what God has provided that you will be able to stand. You will do all, having done all to stand, because you got that armor on. And you're praying that that message, when Paul said, pray for me. We need prayer that the message of God's grace and his grace alone will be preached so that everyone sees this need that we are so needy. We have need of him. And he loves it when we depend on him. He loves it when we just cry out to him and say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. But what did David do when he was having a trial? He had to encourage himself in the Lord. If you look to yourself to take care of yourself, you're not going to be too encouraged. I've never been. Even when I thought I had it, I had it. I fell flat on my face. Because you've got to go back to the lowly place. Always the low one. Take your place in low. Be humble. Don't pretend humbleness. Be humble. God knows. He's watching. He knows when you're humble. And he said, and I'm going to give you more grace. And I'm going to raise you up. In due time, he's going to give you exactly what you need. I always thought I was so bad because I went, Lord, man, I want to change. Why aren't you giving me the ability, you know? Hey, I worked it in you, and I'm the one who's going to work it out of you. How long did it take me to work it inside you? You see, it's the work that I'm doing on the inside. It's the evidence on the outside. It's showing everyone, but me first, God. I know she's got it because it's me. The Lord died. Jesus died for me that I can have grace, but that I can have it in abundance. In an abundance. We don't have to have a little rain. We can have abundance of the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And we need it. We need the word. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. But remember, you've got to have the new creation life before you're ever going to enjoy the goodness and all the things that God has for us, because you made a choice and you turned. You turned to God. Look at all the goodies you've been getting, because God is good all the time. Right, Bruce? He was good. He was in the hospital when I called him. Everything was, God is good. God is good. Even if I'm in the hospital, God is good. He brought me to this place. He's a righteous father. He's righteous. He knows exactly what I have need of. And maybe he had need of, he knows what everybody in that hospital had need of. You know, we think we're going to a hospital because we're sick. No, God allows us to go there. Julie Thomas is in a nursing home. But God is there. And he's witnessing. He's going to make it to where she can worship in all times, in all things. Because he said, I'm going to never leave you nor forsake you. I just told a friend that. I said, you know, when I get encouraged, it's encouraged in the Lord. And I said, he promised me he was never going to leave me nor forsake me. And he would take me all the way through. And he's using part of his body. It's still him encouraging them on. That's why we need to commend people to God and to the word of his grace. Because we want them built up. Don't you want other people to grow? You want them built up in the faith. You want them to grow up in Christ. Because I tell you what, when I sit and think of different things, Lord, who taught me? Where was I when I learned that scripture? Oh, what valley was I in? Oh, I remember that valley, Lord, but oh, your word was greater than. That's what he wants us to enjoy, to know who he is above all these things, above all. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Father, we just come before you and we give you praise, we give you thanksgiving. Father, we do continually call on you to answer the cries of our heart. Father, there is no one here that does not have a need. We have need of you moment by moment and day by day. And I believe that your word shows it in and out, Lord. Why would we call on you morning, noon, and night? Why is it there, Lord? Father, because I believe you're assuring us and encouraging us that you're always there. You will always hear us and you will always answer us. But we must remember, the answer is always not what we want. God, it's what you want and where you want us and where you have need. I just ask you, Lord, you'll lead and guide by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lead us, Lord. And we know that if we go in the direction and follow you, all is well. And I thank you for this word. It encouraged my heart, Lord, and I just praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.